So let's start. Hi, Joel Hoogstra. I'm Daria. Nice to meet you. And welcome to Metalsock Finland. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure. Listen, today we could talk about so many things, but instead we pick up your side project, Joel Hoogstra's 13, and the upcoming album, of course, Dying to Live, which comes out on October 16th through Frontiers Music. And before we go further, please describe me the album with three words.
Three words?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Or do you want four, maybe?
melodic hard rock.
Yes. Okay. That's the one word or three?
That was the three words.
Okay. Great.
I would say melodic hard rock. I'm going to go over the three words to describe it. It's just basically, it's melodic hard rock that I describe as being Dio-ish at its heaviest and Foreigner-ish at its lightest. I have an amazing lineup of musicians
indeed.
On it from the classic rock scene
yes.
that help bring these songs to life. And despite the fact that I did all the writing on it and everything like that, it doesn't really sound like a guitar player's solo album. Mm-hmm. It's not 3-minute guitar solos and things like that. It's just tastefully played hard rock songs.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
It sounds very much like you're listening to a band when you turn it on, but the reality is I did all the writing.
Yes.
So that's why I wanted to give it a project name, and that's
yes.
why it's the project is Joel Hoogstra's 13.
Yes.
And the album is called Dying to Live.
Yes, and that's what we are talking about further. In fact, years ago you released the three solo albums that were mainly instrumental guitar music. But
correct.
When did you decide to start this project? And you mentioned already the number 13. Why the number 13? Maybe I lost earlier if you said the reason for it.
Well, I didn't say that earlier, but
okay.
In terms of why record this album, I have a lot of fans that have gotten to know me through playing with Night Ranger
mm-hmm.
and through the show Rock of Ages and Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and now, of course, Whitesnake,
yes.
That have been saying to me, how come you don't record a solo album that's a little more like just hard rock songs that we can listen to
yes.
and good rock stuff? And so this is that album, and I did it over the downtime in the last year or two,
yes.
and I'm very excited to get it out. It's just cool rock songs. So again, it doesn't really sound like my other solo albums. Two of those I would describe as kind of fusion or
mm-hmm.
rock fusion,
yeah.
and one of those is like fingerstyle acoustic guitar.
Yes.
So this is completely different from those.
Yeah.
And as far as the number 13 goes, that's just been a lucky number of sorts for me. I was born on the 13th.
Okay.
And I just wanted something that could be interpreted different ways by different listeners.
Yeah.
And I also thought, think of the fantastic advertising I'll get from all of the 13s on the street that people
yeah.
are running.
Yes.
Why not go ahead and go with it?
That's good. That's very good reason and very good number, because it's also my lucky number,
okay.
to be honest. And I guess that many of your personal influences is in this album, right?
Yeah, I think I just basically tried to write in the melodic hard rock genre that I grew up listening to and that I've become known for lately playing with the bands I've been playing with.
Yes.
So. Yeah, as I said, I kind of consider it to be Dio-ish at its heaviest and Foreigner-ish at its lightest. So it's a combination of writing what my influences were growing up and also kind of writing for the musicians that I had on it as well, because obviously I was going to write the songs to fit the vocalists.
Yes, that's good. I've been listening to it now in these days, and I do like it very much. You know, I'm coming from death metal background.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but when I hear good music, I'm very happy to say it, that I do like your album. And now, as the album is done, so how do you feel it? I mean, what are your expectations that your fans will say?
Well, right now it's just very much about getting the word out there to people.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are just kind of learning who I am, or maybe still have no idea who I am. So a lot of it is just getting the word out so people will give the album a try, because the feedback I'm getting, most people, the interviewers and reviewers, really think the album is special. So yeah. I hope that people will give it a go. And that's a lot of it for me right now, is just trying to get the word out. So obviously we have a lyric video that came out for the song Anymore, the first single.
Yes.
And a video came out 3 days ago for the song Until I Left You, that people can check out. There's a song sampler video online that I put together that's a minute of each of the songs. And then, of course, there's the EPK video where I kind of talk about the album and you can hear some song samples and things like that. So I think a lot of it is just trying to get the word out there right now. So the work is really just beginning in a way.
Mm-hmm.
The music is recorded, but for me to hopefully get people to listen to it. That's, I think, going to be the trick. I think people will like it if they give it a shot, but getting them to listen to it is the hard part.
I'm pretty sure of that. And in fact, my next question was about and is about your latest video, Until I Left You. And you have said that this song, this video is about growing older, setting aside your insecurities and realizing that you are able to become the person you've wanted to be. But in generally, what can you tell me about the album concept and themes? You mentioned...
Yeah, I stopped short of calling it a concept album, but basically the album is just about the struggles that we all have inside ourselves to become the person that we want to be. It's overcoming those obstacles in life.
Yeah.
I think I've been in a real self-improvement phase the last couple years of my life while I've been writing the album. Mm-hmm. So that's just tended to be what the songs were about lyrically. So some of them are fantasy-based and some of them are reality-based. So some of them are direct scenarios in my life, and others are a little more fantasy-based, but playing with the idea of somebody who's trying to overcome obstacles. And there are songs in there that are sung from the standpoint of the obstacles, or maybe the demons or vices in your life, like Say Goodbye to the Sun and Scream and The Only Way to Go. All come from that standpoint.
Yeah, and as you mentioned already before that, you were writing and arranging the music and lyrics, but also produced it, right?
Yes.
So what can you tell me about this? I mean, about the work besides the lyrics and of course, the moments that you created the song. But in production, when you produced it, were there any changes or how it went?
Well, Chris Collier is a great mix engineer, so I owe a lot of the sound of the album to him.
Mm-hmm.
He did a fantastic job mixing it. In terms of me working with the other musicians, my philosophy was kind of simple. It was just to basically let them do whatever they wanted.
Okay.
But sometimes that meant reinventing the song. If you got parts back from people that were different than you expected, that meant I sort of had to adapt and change the song or my own parts sometimes that were going to be different than I had pictured to make it all fit together. But in the end, I think what I got was a cool result, because I think you can hear all the players' personalities on the album.
Mm-hmm.
It's all very much within the framework of songs being tastefully played. There's not a lot of wankage, as I would say, on this album. There's no 3-minute guitar solos or getting too progressive minded on it. It's just good, solid, melodic, hard rock that's tastefully played by good players. So I think anybody that, like I said, likes the style I'm describing of maybe Dio-ish through Foreigner-ish, I think would probably really like this album.
Yes. And among all your engagements of Whitesnake, which are many, how do you find time to this new project?
It was basically just done over any downtime that I had.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, the downtime exists. A lot of times it's on the road. It was being mixed while I was on tour with Whitesnake, so I would get the mixes from the mix engineer and give him some notes in terms of what I would like to have changed.
Okay.
And he would send back revisions, and we went back and forth quite a bit on that type of stuff. And it was that way with all of it. So it's kind of the new model of how things get done. Very, very in the world of the digital world, where files are back and forth and things.
Yeah.
The only time the musicians were together on it was Russell and myself when he was recording his vocals. So Okay. I was very much done with everybody on their own, which can be, it can be bad, but it also can be really good because it leaves people with the not the feeling of pressure when they're recording, yeah, and they can just be themselves and without having somebody there to micromanage it and tell them what to do, and it just allows people to be themselves. So I think in a way you get better results from doing this,
yeah,
too.
To give the artistical freedom. So it gives also the more relaxed feeling in there. There is a lot of good feeling in this album, I can tell you that.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome. And in fact, now we talk about the stellar lineup, as you mentioned. All of you very great musicians working in many different bands. But please tell me how you got together with Jeff, Russell, Winnie and Tony.
Yeah, the way it came together was I had just finished a project called VHF with Tony Franklin. And so I said to him, I want to record an album that's just rock stuff, just straight ahead vocal stuff. Would you be interested? And he was into doing it. And I said, well, who would you want to use on drums? And he recommended Vinny Appice, of course, from Dio and Black Sabbath. Yeah. And Tony, he has a great list of credits as well. I mean, he played with The Firm and Blue Murder. And he plays with Kenny Wayne Shepherd right now. So he's a very in-demand bass player.
Yeah.
So anyway, I had a cool rhythm section, and just so happened right at that time, Russell Allen signed up to do the Trans-Siberian Orchestra tour that I do.
Yeah.
So I checked him out. I had never really listened to Symphony X, and I was blown away by how amazing Russell is.
Yeah.
And so I had him sing.
Great voice.
And then in doing the background vocals, I sang some of them, and I thought, man, it'd be really great to have another great singer sing some backgrounds. And I had done some co-writing and playing with Jeff Scott Soto in the past, so despite the fact he was very overqualified, I asked a favor of him if he would sing backgrounds on Russell's tracks.
Yeah.
And he did that for me, being the nice guy that he is.
Yeah.
And he was so great, and it just became clear that it was going to be a project album and I could do what I wanted with it, so I really wanted to have Jeff sing lead on it as well.
Yes.
So Jeff sang lead on the other half of the album, and then I still felt like even after all the guitars went down, there was room for keyboards, maybe to take some solos, and of course for just tasteful sounds, and I asked Derek Sherinian from Black Country Communion, Joe Bonamassa. I mean, he's got, again, talk about a guy with great credits.
Yes.
And Derek was willing to play on it.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden I had this amazing lineup of musicians bringing these songs to life for me. I never really set out to create a super band or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I just really wanted to record some cool rock stuff. But the next thing I knew, I had this great lineup, and that doesn't hurt either,
I guess, right? No, not at all. In fact, my next question was about the guest musicians, as you mentioned already, Derek, and so on. But just a curiosity. I mean, the world is full of great musicians, and of course, you know many persons. But how you came up to these guest musicians?
It was really everybody that I asked said yes.
Okay.
So
you should have done the double CD or something.
Yeah. The only thing we missed out on was Tony Harnell was going to sing some background vocals for me on a couple of songs, and that it was right down to the deadline, and he got sick, and so he couldn't, he had a cold, and so he couldn't do it during the only couple days we had to get it done, so that was the only thing I missed out on. That would have been amazing, but Tony and I hopefully will work together on something down the road,
the rest,
everybody I asked to participate on it said yes, so I felt, you know, very blessed that all these guys were willing to help me out.
That's great. But that will be the next album, because I'm sure there will be a next album.
Well, we'll see. I just want to get this one out for now.
Of course, let's wait next year. Yeah, okay. The title, Dying to Live, which is the ninth track of the album. Why this choice?
I thought it was the most appropriate overall for the theme of the lyrics that we already discussed. Just about basically like struggling to live.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been the more accurate title, but it might not have sounded as cool. Dying to live sounds a lot cooler than struggling to live. But it's just about all the struggles you go through to be the person you want to be.
Of course, of course. And that tells also not only struggles, but the fire to live, that you want to live and live it 100%.
Yes.
About the album cover artwork, which is very clean and simple. It's a triangle with an eye. So I'm sure that there is a story behind it. So please.
Yeah, I know. Everybody thinks I'm into the Illuminati or the occult now off of the cover of the album. But it's actually more like what the graphic artist came up with off of me describing a concept of... You traveling through your own mind's eye towards a light.
Yes.
Sort of like down a tunnel. So he used the eye for really to represent the mind's eye, and the triangle with the lines inside it just representing that tunnel and the light behind it, and the bird is sort of representing you and taking that travel to try and become, to get where you're meant to be, to become the person you want to be.
Yes.
So that's basically it. And all of a sudden everybody says, oh, he's in the Illuminati.
cool. And after this Until I Left You, the video, what has been the reaction from your fans and media?
So far it's great. I would just like to have more people hear it. But the reaction, especially to Until I Left You, has been very positive. It's a difficult album for me to promote because every song that I release, I think people immediately think that all of the material is going to sound exactly like that, and it's really a diverse album. So I think it's the type of album that people are going to need to hear the whole thing before they really understand stylistically what it represents. So if I were to put out a mellow song first, everybody'd say, oh, the album's so slow and mellow, and so everybody overreacts in terms of their thoughts and of the styles. But it's all there, like I said, in terms of... Until I Left You is very much the hooky, poppy side of the album.
Yeah.
But if I were to put out Say Goodbye to the Sun first, everybody would say, oh, it's too heavy. You know, it's like you can't win. You have to just kind of give them everything step by step and have people finally digest the fact it's a diverse album. And I didn't want to record an album where all the songs sounded the same. I have no interest in that. That's boring to me. I wanted to have some diversity, and I think the album still flows really well. I've gotten compliments on that. And I think it has a sound overall.
Yes.
So same instruments and the same players and the same mix engineer. It has a sound to it. So I think it's I found the right flow and sequence, and it's a cool album, I think.
Yes.
But I'm buying.
Yes. And just a curiosity, is it possible for you to choose your favorite songs in it? It's a tough question,
not really.
because they are your babies.
I'm really proud of all the songs.
Yes.
Yeah. So for me, I think the fun thing is I put out the song sampler that basically has a minute of each song. People can watch that song sampler video up on YouTube.
Yes.
And I asked people online, I said, what's your favorite song? And at some point, every song was named by somebody. So that's a good sign. And that had the Japanese bonus track and the digital download bonus track as well. So there was 13 songs.
Yes.
And at some point in time, everybody named one of the songs, which I thought was...
That's a good feedback, you know, because we are different, and each of us, we have different tastes. You have a good album in your hands and coming
to us. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Okay. October 16th, the album comes out. But will we see you playing on stage and touring? I mean, having such important lineup with very busy guys, so it must be pretty hard to find the time for live shows.
Well, I'll do whatever I can to support the album. If there's some kind of live support scenario that makes sense, I'll definitely be interested in doing that. The trick is going to be getting everybody to participate, but I suppose with this many name players, people would still be excited even if it was half of them. So I'm just going to see what I can do in terms of supporting it, and hopefully it all starts with how well the album is received. I think if people really like it and there's a demand for it, there could potentially be shows for it.
I'm looking forward very much because, you know, one thing is to listen to the album, but the other thing is seeing you play on stage. That gives completely another atmosphere to it.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I've gotten a lot of interest from promoters already about it, which is amazing because it's still a month and a half off from actually being released, and I'm hearing from people interested in booking it. So, we'll just see how that all plays out.
Okay, good. That tells me somehow that we will see you playing live. That's good. Listen, two words I just gotta ask you about Whitesnake. You recently concluded your tour supporting the Purple album. Can you share with me the highlights of the tour?
Well, yeah, we just finished up the first leg of the tour. So we did 3 months here in North America, basically all United States with a few Canada dates. So we're headed over to Japan and Europe and finishing in the Ireland and UK with Def Leppard. Basically mid-October through mid-December will be that run. It's just been great all the way around. I mean, I really love working with David Coverdale. He's such a great guy. It's been over a year of me being in the band already, and I've just had a great experience working with him. I just think he's a wonderful human being. So working with rock royalty like David, one minute he's making you laugh, and the next he's telling you stories about working with Jimmy Page and Ritchie Blackmore, and he's an icon, you know? Also having a great lineup like Tommy Aldridge and working in a guitar team with Reb Beach is just amazing for me. He's so fun to play with. Reb is a great lead guitar player. Everybody knows that, but he plays great rhythm guitar. It's so fun to lock on these great Whitesnake riffs with him live. Yeah. And man, what a cool set we have as well, because we're playing all the Whitesnake hits, but we're also pulling from the material David did with Deep Purple, Mark III and Mark IV. So, which those songs just totally lend themselves to live performance and to jamming. So, between the two, we've just got this killer set. I mean, the band, every night we were getting on our bus and going, man, I love playing our set. Yeah, me too. And, I mean, it's just really a great vibe out there. And we were all getting along and lots of laughs on and off stage. Yeah. So far, it's just been rock and roll bliss. We can only hope that it stays that way.
Yeah.
Because David is very enthusiastic about everything and is looking to have a really, really active next year or two with Whitesnake.
Yes, great, great. So I will be there. And coming back to your own project, we just wait that this baby comes out and we will see then next year what will happen. But are there plans for the near future that you have?
Really, like I said, to get this out and promote it, and the next step of the immediate step is to go out and do the next couple months with Whitesnake, and David has a couple of recording projects that he's talking about, so I think I'm going to be actively involved in working with him on some of that, and I'll let him fill everybody in on that, and then I think there's talk of more tour dates being added in 2016 for the Purple Tour, and so more Whitesnake touring, and I do have a project lined up to work on with Michael Sweet of Striper, I think, is my next recording project, I'm excited to be a part of that, and I just try and stay productive as a musician is basically my plan.
Yeah, and now to, let's say, personal questions. You are under Frontiers Music. So how does it feel to be part of an Italian family?
Great. I feel very lucky to have these guys give me an opportunity to have a worldwide release with this album. I mean, what a great thing for me. And it's coming at a great time with me joining Whitesnake and touring around the world. And so, yeah, I feel very much like they're helping me out, and I'm grateful for that opportunity.
Great. And whenever you don't play music or write music or be involved with music, how do you spend your free time when you just want to unplug yourself and relax?
I love movies and I like sports. I like basketball and baseball. Okay. So I follow the teams. I grew up rooting for the Chicago Bulls and for the Chicago Cubs.
Okay.
So I follow them and I like to watch movies that I really like or great movies over and over.
Okay.
I watch a great movie 50 times.
Okay, that's cool. It's like evergreen, how you say it.
If it's a really good movie
you just go
and I enjoy it, I'll watch it over and over and over to digest it further. Yeah.
Listen, Joel, I know that you will have the next interview and our time is running out. But please, now the last question, and the word is yours. What is your message to your fans and to Metal Shock Finland readers or listeners in this case?
Well, I hope everybody will give this Dying to Live a listen. I hope they enjoy it. I want to thank everyone for support in advance, and everybody can feel free to go to my website, joelhoekstra.com, and they can link over to any of my social media stuff from there, Twitter and Facebook, and I usually do pretty good at getting back to everybody, so I hope everybody reaches out.
Good, and I will write all the links, your links, together with this interview, so everybody will find you for sure. And Joel, I really thank you for your time and for this very nice chat. And I hope all the best for this 1.5 months before the baby comes out, and all the best for it, the promoting and everything. And see you on the road.
Thank you. Okay, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you, Joel. Have a nice day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.